In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, we heard a very familiar parable. The parable of the sower and the seed. This parable was given by the Lord to his disciples, to the crowds, so that they might come to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It was given to people in a context in a little bit different circumstances than we find ourselves today. It was given to a people who practice agriculture as perhaps their top profession. Nowadays, of course, we still have agriculture, but most of us get our food from the grocery store. We're a little bit removed from the images in this parable. But we'll speak about them nonetheless, because this profession of farming, working the ground, tilling the soil, will be with us to the end of the age. And if we remember our Old Testament scriptures in the book of Genesis, remember that this was from the beginning of the age too. The first profession that was given to Adam and Eve was to work the ground in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. They were to toil. I want to share with you a couple of illustrations about agriculture and soil. I'm going to pass these around for you to look at. First is a soil map of the United States. On the computer, it was in color. There's a lot more detail. Sorry, it's black and white, but I'll pass it around nonetheless. It shows just a glimpse of all the different types of soil that we have in the United States. And the second is a soil profile. It shows what's underneath the ground. I want to discuss the aspect of the parable that relates to the soil. I thought perhaps maybe to talk about something else in today's sermon. I thought maybe to make reference to what was going on in Houston this past week. Those are familiar with what's been going on there. There was an attempt to seize pastor's sermons, to subpoena them, and their communications with their parishioners. A bird swooping down and taking that seed and carrying it off in an effort to bolster an immoral law. We'll speak about that today, though. You can research that a little bit later. Google that. What's going on in Houston with the subpoenas. I want to speak about the soil. The soil is an illustration of man's personhood. What's underneath the surface of each and every one of us. Passed out those graphics to use it as an illustration. You know, as many soil types as we see in America, there are an equal, if not more, amount of types of personalities. And as many layers as we see in that simple diagram, there are many more layers within the personality of each and every one of us. And we're dealing with a very complex subject, the nature of man and its composition. You know, in my research, I looked at some things that contribute to a person's personality, contributing factors. Here's a list of some of them. Their upbringing, their education, their socioeconomic status, their genetics, the region in which they live, the language which they speak, the culture which they're exposed to, and the religion which they have or don't have. You know, the American situation has been likened to a melting pot. We have a little bit of everything here, or a stew, where it's not melted together, but it's still kind of a little bit separate, but united. There are a number of subcultures that are found in America, and the list was very lengthy. I just pulled out a few that maybe you'd be familiar with. There are many that I had no idea even existed. Subcultures, these are groups within American society. The hip-hop subculture, heavy metal, the biker, the LGBT community, hippies, surfers, survivalists, the military, skaters, skinheads, gothic people, celebrities, super wealthy. There's a whole lengthy list of subcultures. You know, one of the subcultures that wasn't listed which maybe it's a good reason it wasn't listed, was secularism or materialism. Perhaps they weren't listed as subcultures because they define our culture as a whole. There's an aspect of secularism and materialism within all of American society. These subcultures kind of group together different personality types and ideologies. But certainly, these subcultures aren't enough to describe the American situation because we have so many different ethnicities. I won't even list off the list of ethnicities. People from all over the world here in America. It's a very complex composition, this American soil. And despite its complexities, despite the challenges for sowing that seed, God is here and He's active. When we hear this parable of the sower and the seed, we hear of God's compassion, His love for mankind. That He comes to us and He sows His truth, His divine teachings, and He sows His grace, His divine energies within the human being. That He enlightens man's mind, He warms his heart, He sanctifies his soul and body, and this is a sign of God's compassion. And this seed, this teaching, and this grace, He sprinkles everywhere. There were just a few types of soil that were listed in the parable today, but when we think about it with subcultures, with ethnicities, when we think about the whole world, He sprinkles His seed to a whole variety and diversity of peoples with all their different backgrounds and their complex compositions. He offers His seed to everyone. Each and every one of us has our own complexities, has our own histories, our own backgrounds, our own ethnicities, our own ideologies, our own education, our own upbringing, our own genetics. All of these factors. The Lord asks us, each and every one of us, to consider whether or not our human composition is ready and interested in receiving His seed, His word and instruction, and His grace and His divine energies. Whether or not we're interested in receiving that so that we can bear fruit. Each and every one of us has to ask ourselves the question, why do we respond to God the way that we do? Why is that? Why do we respond to His teaching the way that we do, or His grace the way that we do? I can't answer that question for any of you. I have difficulty answering it for myself. But it's a question of utmost importance. Why do we respond to God the way that we do? Another question, which is similar, what is beneath the surface of my personality that needs to be addressed? Talk about soil types, there's different layers. What's beneath the topmost layers of our being? What do we have that's deep down within us? When we look at those layers, as you see in the diagram, the topmost layer is most easily visible by the eye. It's also most easily changeable by the factors of the weather, by climate. But as you go down deeper, those layers are not only harder to see, but they're harder to change. Those deep aspects to the human character are very difficult to see and to change. Speak about how we can change. How we can change those things that need to be changed. But first, I think we should speak about why we need to change. Why do we need to see of God? Why do we need His teachings and His grace? Why do we need to have healthy and fertile soil? Why can't we all just be different? Have our own teachings, have our own energy, have our own way of life. Why can't we celebrate the diversity that exists? Good question, right? Why do people even need to be Christians? Who's going to define what is a weed and what is a plant? What's the difference, by the way, between a weed and a plant? Not too much. That's a good answer. Do you have any botanists here?
A weed grows where you don't want it to grow.
Exactly right. If you look at the science behind weeds and plants, there's no difference. A weed and a plant is the same thing scientifically. The question is, what do we want? Right? Something that we don't like, we pull it out as a weed. But when we see it growing in a field, it's beautiful. What beautiful flowers we have in this field, right? It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. When you think about perspective, we each have our own, right? And we just said, well, why can't we each have our own? Decide what we want to decide, think what we want to think, do what we want to do. Why can't we just go our own way and celebrate this diversity? Why can't we do that? Because it overlooks the one perspective that truly matters. Whose perspective is that? Yours? Mine? No, God's, right? God's perspective. Does he divide things as plants and others as weeds? You better believe it. Right? In the Garden of Eden, there were many trees. There was one they were not to go near. They weren't to come to the knowledge of good and evil. They were to work the soil and eat the fruits of goodness in paradise. When they sinned, when they came to know both good and evil, what happened? They left the garden, and they entered into the fallen world as we know it. And what did the earth bring forth for them? Does anyone remember? Death, they fell into death. But the earth itself, what did the soil bring forth? That Adam had to work in the sweat of his brow. What did it bring forth?
Weeds.
Thorns and thistles, right? Thorns and thistles. Things changed, going from the garden to our fallen world. We don't just have all goodness. We have goodness and evil. Light and darkness. Life and death. And it's not all the same. The Lord even tells us through the scriptures, woe to those who think it's the same, who confuse light and darkness, good and evil, life and death. Woe to them. You know, he gives us another parable. He speaks to us about the parable of the wheat and the tares. I'm going to read that parable. It's very short. The Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Why does it matter? There's a difference between wheat and tares, because at the end of the age, God will divide the two. That there will be an entrance into heaven, and there will be an entrance into hell. And this depends upon what? The type of soil that we've been given? You might think so, right? Some of the seed fell on hard soil, others on soil with weeds there, others on soil with rocks, and some fell on good ground. So it's all dependent upon God. He made us the way we are, didn't he? Or did he? You know, we can't, at the end of the age, come to the dread judgment and say, you know, I'm fallen because you made me that way. I'm fallen and I've got a whole list of excuses. My upbringing, my education, my socioeconomic status, my genetics, the region, the culture, all that stuff. I got nature and nurture as excuses, and I'm going to lay them before you. This is why I am who I am. And you know what the Lord will probably say to us? You can have your excuses. But because you're just bringing forth excuses and not a repentant mind and heart and being, you remain the way that you are. That personality that wasn't changed, that personality that you kept and protected with your excuses, will remain. You didn't want to change it. I'm not going to change it for you. I can't change it for you. You will remain
the way that you are because you've chosen. Nature and nurture are not excuses.
You know, this parable was given through the Lord's compassion. He gave his teaching through his love and his mercy to him. But he didn't give us this teaching so that we could have a pity party. So that we could say, how difficult my life is. How bad my upbringing was. How difficult my socioeconomic status and all of these kind of things. So that we could pity ourselves. He gave us this compassionate teaching so that we could change ourselves. So that we could have a new foundation for our life. And what is that foundation? But Christ himself. He set up the church as his new garden so that each and every one of us who comes from all these different backgrounds, all these different soil types, can look within and find out what needs to be pulled out and replace it with something good. And where do we find this goodness? But in the church. Last week we spoke about holy tradition. And holy tradition is giving of this wonderful teaching and grace of God from one generation to the next. And it happens in the context of the life of the church. And people are saved and sanctified by this grace of God, by this teaching. And what happens? But they pass along this tradition to their children. And they grow up in this culture of eternal life. This culture of eternal life. And they go out and they try and expand foundations of the church. They try and take over the earth for God. A holy war for land, so to speak. But not land in Israel. The earth and the soil of the human heart. They go out to recover this and reclaim it for God. To make it once again paradise. So that man might have life in the garden. Each and every one of us is called to a new identity. Each and every one of us is called to change that which is beneath the surface. To make that effort. To work in the sweat of our brow. To cut through the thorns and thistles. To come to the church and receive that solid teaching of divine grace. And to swap out everything that needs to be swapped out. So that that seed that's sown, so that it can grow and it can bear fruit. And we're called to be concerned for our neighbor. And to expand the ministry of the church, we are our neighbor's keeper as well. Brothers and sisters, as we contemplate all of these things, if you think about these questions, how do I respond to God? Why do I respond to God the way that I do? What is beneath the surface that needs to be addressed? And each of us has our own answers. Let us follow the one path that is given to us. To all of us, no matter who we are, when we lived, what our composition is, that one path of repentance, that one path of change, that one path of growth. Because this ultimately leads to the flowering of the church and our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.